From Streamline Publishing, the Radio and Television Business Report, and Radio Inc., welcome to another Hispanic Radio podcast. I am your host. My name is Adam R. Jacobson, and it is my pleasure to welcome to this podcast Stacey the Armas. She is the Vice President of Strategic Initiatives and Consumer Engagement at Nielsen. We have a lot of fun things to discuss with her, and welcome Stacey to the podcast.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, let me just start by saying that we're seeing some interesting new trends among the U.S. Hispanic consumer, and that extends to their consumption of music and how they're consuming music. There's a global love for all things Latino when it comes to their choices. Look at the popularity of Despacito, Écheme la Culpa. I have a friend who runs a radio station in Frankfurt, Germany, who is welcoming Maluma for an exclusive concert.
I mean,
this is a global phenomenon that has its roots in the U.S. Hispanic market.
So great.
So, you know, we have a lot of radio owners, radio station owners listening in that, you know, are possibly contemplating how to engage and attract that Hispanic consumer. Obviously, music has a big part of that. So my first question to you is how Hispanics are consuming the music. You know, it's a thing of vital importance to many, including our listeners here. What can you share in terms of the trends on the music side and the consumption of Latin music in general?
Well, boy, you are absolutely right about consumption, really, and this incredible crossover. Let me start by saying that at Nielsen, we often share a lot of, you know, quantitative insights, right? We talk about how much time spent listening to music and how that's growing and how listeners are discovering and consuming music. But what's really most fascinating, I think, is when we kind of unpack the why, right? What's driving it? So as popular music evolves and people access and enjoy it differently, how that evolves, you really can't deny that technology has impacted music and that very personal listenership journey. So I would say the biggest trend that I see is how the very experience of music consumption is being altered and influenced by technology. So I suppose the best example I can give you is for all fans and Hispanic fans, Latino fans in particular, this fan is deeply engaged in the conversations surrounding music and artists and music production and even consumption, right? What platforms they consume music on. So for example, a full 70% of Hispanics follow artists that they like on social channels, a great opportunity that radio is already leveraged, right, by having an incredible social presence. And another 50% discover music and live events online through Facebook, another place radio has been leaning in for quite some time. But that connectivity and that dialogue for Hispanic radio fans and radio fans in general is really important. I guess I'd also say that Latinos, more than other fans, really engage with artists. They comment on their work. They love engaging with brands that have a relationship with their artists. In fact, 34% are more likely to view a brand favorably if they sponsor a concert or a tour. So these behaviors have really elevated the fans' experience with music, which, you know, is sort of, I wish you could see me, right? I have my hands in this ball. There's this experience and a relationship with music that's very totalizing. And Latin music's already kind of had that really well organized, and Spanish language radio definitely has leaned into developing this total experience for quite some time.
Absolutely. I recall an experience in Chicago exactly 6 years ago, May of 2012, where I was at a Ritmo Latino store. It may not exist anymore, but that's besides the point. It was a Prince Royce autograph signing sponsored by Univision radio station. And there must have been 3,000 people on a weekday afternoon inside the loop waiting to meet this fantastic artist who, again, was at the peak of his rise into mainstream fame, if you will, when it comes to the Hispanic audience. He had started out as a bachata artist, then he became massive. So again, that you make a very good point. The radio station can latch on to an artist, and seeing what we've just seen with those Nielsen statistics, really build a brand.
And really have. I mean, I'm thinking back to the days when I was a planner and a buyer, we were still doing, when I was buying Spanish language radio, we were still doing van hits and things that, you know, general market radio had kind of moved a tiny bit past. And that was in particular because for Latinos, that level of connectivity with the brand, right? The station in this case, and what they offer them is so unique and culturally appropriate. And it builds into this, again, totalizing social experience. It is very much, you know, that may have evolved a bit, but that very central piece of this totalizing experience is what's still very much, and what's attractive to Spanish language radio listeners.
A key word comes to mind, experiential. We see so many benefits from a brand that really does very community-oriented things. Experiential marketing really helps to kind of bridge the brand to a particular Latino consumer. I think that dovetails very well into the next question I have, which is about Latin music consumption and the use of streaming audio. We know it's certainly a big contributor. So what can a Hispanic radio station do to perhaps become the first place of lovers of Spanish language music rather than have those people go to a YouTube or a Spotify or a Pandora?
Gosh, I suppose the number one thing they could do is like nothing. You don't change. Let me clarify that, because there are a lot of great opportunities. But what I mean by don't change is, the fact is, every year, the number of Hispanics listening to weekly radio has grown. You know, with now we stand at just above 42 million Hispanics 12 plus tuning into radio every week. With a 98% reach, you know, radio's got it. They've got the lock. It really is the first place. And that's remarkable, because in this streaming discussion, right, everyone's talking about streaming radio and folks leaning into streaming. Definitely Latinos do that as well. But the fact is that Latinos also use radio nearly every single day, a minimum of 5 days a week. And for some demos, it's way more than that. So I think what's most interesting, again, is the why, right? We know Latinos stream audio. We know they stream a lot of audio. And we know that radio is also key to their lifestyle. And I think that what we can, you know, the bridge we can make here is that radio, whether they're streaming live radio or they're listening to radio, that it's really kind of about playlisting. And that's sort of the link to streaming audio that's not maybe necessarily radio. So what I mean by that is that radio is sort of the original playlist, right? Curated, perfectly organized to our tastes, then that's radio's advantage. It is the original playlist, but the additional advantage is that it's curated by our gente, right? With the mixing the artists beautifully and culturally relevant, local, it's perfectly packaged. And that's really the advantage that radio has. Playlisting and streaming, Latinos will always lean into it, and they always have. But radio, as long as it's been around, I should say, but radio is sort of this original, the original build of that. That is the original playlist, curated, programmed beautifully. I think that's sort of the link between how radio continues to maintain its place as central for U.S. Hispanics.
What are you seeing in terms of the particular music trends making waves? At the 2018 Hispanic Radio Conference in Miami back in March, I learned about trap music, and I thought I knew everything about Hispanic and listeners and Spanish language content that are, you know, rising up the charts right now. You know, what are you seeing on your end at Nielsen in terms of what typical Latino listener?
Well, we're definitely seeing a lot of new genres come in. And that's one of the beautiful things about music, right? Is it sort of opens up and it allows a lot of, you know, new artists and new type of genres to come in. But Latin music and hip hop are still really the top genres among Latinos. And what's made perhaps most fascinating is that all the recent collaborations between really well-known Latin artists and well-known English language artists have given us all these, you know, these incredible results. So I'm not just talking about Despacito. I know everyone's heard that and, you know, we're beyond maybe talking about it, although it's still doing incredibly. I think the biggest trend that we see again is crossover. So we see non-Latinos leaning in to Spanish language music and artists. And it's interesting for non-Latinos, it's like they've discovered this pot of gold. You know, what we've always known has been amazing. I'm not just talking about Ricky Martin and Shakira. I'm talking about J Balvin and Maluma, which you mentioned earlier, Nicky Jam, Romeo Santos, just all of these incredible artists that are now coming into the frame for millennials and for, you know, non-Spanish speaking folks. This is an incredible advantage for Spanish language radio because we know already that radio is the top medium for new music discovery. So I think this is a really, a great way we're going to see more folks sort of leaning in to be exposed to new artists and new things that they love.
Well, I want to thank you once again, Stacey DeArmas in Los Angeles, for participating in this Hispanic Radio podcast. If you'd like to learn a little more about Hispanic Radio, why don't you consider the 2019 Hispanic Radio Conference? Learn more at www.hispanicradioconference.com. That's all the time we have. Thank you again, Stacey. This is a presentation of Streamline Publishing, copyright 2018. Have a great day.